We thank you once again for your holy word, and as we approach it, Lord, we approach it acknowledging that all of it is inspired by your Holy Spirit, that it's all profitable, that it's all clear and easily understood by those who will look upon it with spiritual eyes and allow the Holy Spirit to minister His truth. Father, we thank you that you've preserved it so clearly and so carefully for us, and that you've given us of your Spirit so that we might have revelation in the Word, that we might understand and perceive what it is that you're trying to show us. And Lord, as we study tonight concerning the gift of interpretation of tongues, our Father, we ask you to give us clear and concise guidance concerning the operation of that gift, what it is, how it operates, and why you have placed it in the church, in the body of Christ. We pray in faith, believing you to hear and not only hear, but to answer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, turn, if you will, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, to the 14th chapter, or the 12th chapter, rather, and we'll read our text verses that we've been using for the last number of weeks. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's beginning discussion concerning spiritual gifts, the charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit. Beginning to read at the 7th verse. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, the purpose of all of these gifts is to benefit the body of Christ. The purpose of all of God's supernatural gifts, all 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, is to profit withal. In other words, to profit the body. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. All right, tonight our discussion is on the second of the gifts of utterance, or the second of the vocal gifts. This series of 3 gifts are the gifts that say something. They're the gifts that speak. Last week we studied the first one, which was what? What was the first one in that series of 3? Diverse kinds of tongues, all right? The second one, which is our study tonight, is interpretation of tongues. And the third one, which will be next week, is prophecy. All right, now, what is this gift, interpretation of tongues? We're going to define, first of all, what it is, and then we're going to look at a few things that it is not and take some confusion out of what some folks get messed up with this gift. Interpretation of tongues is a supernatural utterance in the known language. All right? It's an utterance which is given supernaturally by God, not something that you think up, but is given supernaturally above your natural ability. That's what supernatural means, above natural. Above your natural ability. It's a supernatural utterance. Interpretation of tongues is an utterance. If it is not spoken, it is not the gift of interpretation of tongues. It may be a revelation, you see, but if it is not uttered, it is not this gift. You understand what I'm saying to you? All right? It must be uttered. By definition, it's a spoken gift. It's a vocal gift. All right? It's a supernatural utterance in the known language. In this case, it would be English if it was manifested in one of our services, which brings forth the meaning of what has been spoken in tongues, which is the unknown language. All right? A person speaks forth in tongues in an unknown language. That's what tongues is a supernatural utterance in an unknown language. Now, when a person does that, there's a need to have followed behind that an utterance supernaturally given by the Spirit of God in the known tongue in order to make intelligible to the hearer what's come in tongues. All right? So, interpretation of tongues is a supernatural utterance in the known language or the common language of the hearers, which brings forth the meaning of what has just previously been spoken in tongues. in the unknown language. All right, now that'll tell you something about interpretation of tongues, and that is this. It never, ever operates apart from the gift of diverse kinds of tongues. It is the only one of the nine that requires another one in order for it to function. The fact that it is interpretation of tongues means that if there are no tongues, there'll be no interpretation of same. In order for interpretation of tongues to come, you must first have the utterance in tongues. All right? Interpretation follows that. In the 14th chapter now of the book of 1 Corinthians, if you're right there, just turn over to it, and we'll see something that is in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. Paul says, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. All right, he's talking here about three gifts. He says, I want you all to speak in tongues, but I would rather that you prophesied. Well, let's do it like this, okay? Prophecy. I would rather that you prophesy. Why? Because when you speak in tongues, nobody else benefits from that. Who is edified when you speak in tongues? You are. Verse number 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. All right. When you speak in tongues, you don't edify anybody except yourself. You're the only one that gets any benefit, because he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, according to verse number 2, speaketh unto God, okay, and builds himself up. There's something that happens there between you and God. You're the only one that gets any benefit when you speak in tongues. But if you prophesy, you edify or benefit everybody else. Okay, now it's a good thing Paul didn't stop right there. He said, except you interpret. Except you interpret. Do you see it there? He that prophesieth is greater than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. Now, let's see something about these three utterance gifts. He says that if a man prophesy, it's going to be of more benefit to the church than he that speaks in tongues, unless there be an interpretation. Because tongues with interpretation becomes the same as prophecy. It's God speaking to man. Is that not right? Tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy. Now, it is not prophecy. Don't get this wrong now. It is not prophecy. It's equal to prophecy. If I have two nickels and a dime, the two nickels is equal to the dime, correct? But is the two nickels the dime? It's not. It's two nickels. It's not the same, but it's equal. You get it? Okay. Tongues and interpretation together are like two nickels. It equals prophecy. In other words, it has the same benefit. It's God speaking supernaturally to men. But an interpretation and prophecy are exactly the same, with the exception that interpretation requires a prior utterance in tongues. Now, how do you tell the difference? If in the middle of the service a supernatural utterance comes in English, in the known language, just all by itself, it's prophecy. But if that utterance came following a supernatural utterance in other tongues, it's interpretation. Both of these are in English, all right, in the known language. One of them is preceded by tongues. Okay, is anybody does not understand that? Prophesying, or the gift of prophecy, is purely a supernatural utterance in the known language. It's God speaking to men using a man's voice or a woman's voice, supernatural utterance, not something that he's learned, but his mouth opens up and the Spirit of God gives him utterance in English, and out comes the words, and it's thus saith the Lord. And that's how this book right here was written. That's how this came. Why is there, rather than just having tongues and interpretation? Yeah, but his question, though, is a good one. Why prophecy if you have tongues and interpretation? Yeah, yeah. Prophecy was first, always, yes, prophecy was given before tongues were, because tongues didn't come until the day of Pentecost, but prophecy was something that was given way back in the Old Testament, way back in Exodus even. Ezekiel prophesied, Isaiah prophesied, Moses prophesied. That would be true back in Old Testament times, wouldn't it? When there was no supernatural utterance in tongues, if he wanted to speak supernaturally, he'd have to speak through the gift of prophecy, wouldn't he? Because there were no tongues back in that day. And the same thing is true today. Well, let me give you another example. I think we looked at it in here one night when Caiaphas was the high priest and Jesus was... It was just prior to Jesus being crucified, and Caiaphas prophesied. The word said, he spoke and he said, don't you understand that one man is going to die for the whole kingdom? And Matthew, I believe it is, or John, one of those gospel writers says, Caiaphas, being the high priest that year, prophesied. He didn't know he was prophesying, but he did. Okay? It was a supernatural utterance. He didn't even know he was saying it. Prophecy, I was going to say here that tongues and interpretation require two people and prophecy doesn't, but that's not true. Because tongues and interpretation can come through the same person, come through the same individual. It is a gift. But it is one that the gift of prophecy is one that is easier to accept than the gift of tongues. And people do prophesy sometimes today not knowing that they're prophesying. But you can't ever speak in tongues hardly without knowing that you're doing that. But prophecy does come on occasion today without a person knowing that it's coming. In other words, he's speaking, he thinks it's himself, but it's supernatural utterance, the same way Caiaphas did. It's like miracles and faith. We talked about those two gifts. They both have the same benefit and the same end result, but they're just a different means. Faith believes for a miracle, and working of miracles performs it, but it has the same end result, just a different way of delivering it. Okay. All right. Now, the reason I wanted you to see the comparison here with prophecy is that when we talk about interpretation, the purpose for the gift of interpretation is the same as it is for the gift of prophecy. And what is that purpose according to verse number 3? 14:3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. The gift of interpretation coupled with the gift of diverse kinds of tongues has the same purpose. It is a vocal utterance meant to edify, exhort, or to comfort the people of God or the body of Christ. Okay? Has the same purpose and the same benefit. Now, we said when we were talking about... I believe we said. If we didn't, let me say it again just to be sure. That... When we talk about these gifts of interpretation and also prophecy, it's important that we understand that they are given for edification, exhortation, and comfort. They are gifts of utterance, not revelation. Do you understand what I mean? Interpretation is an utterance gift, not a gift of revelation. The gifts of revelation were which? There were three of them. What were those three? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Those are the revelational gifts, the gifts that reveal something, all right? Now, the gift of interpretation is given for edification, exhortation, and comfort, the same as prophecy. If revelation comes through an interpretation, what do you have? You have another gift. You have another gift in operation, do you see? If a message comes in tongues, the interpretation comes along, and in that interpretation comes revelation of knowledge, for example. A word of knowledge may be in that. A word of wisdom may be in there. It may be, thus saith the Lord, this is what I want you to do, children. I instruct you to thus and so. What is that? What gift is that? Guidance, instruction, direction. What gift? Wisdom. What is wisdom? Knowing what to do. Isn't that right? Wisdom is knowing the right thing to do. Word of wisdom is guidance and direction from God. It's a portion of God's divine wisdom. All right, how does that come? Oftentimes it will come through the gift of interpretation. It's not the gift of interpretation, it comes on it. Let me give you an example now. Suppose I get an automobile. I think I used this once before. Suppose I get an automobile and I drive down the street down here. I am not an automobile. Now, I may look like one, but I'm not an automobile. I'm just riding in it. See? I'm just in it. I'm not the automobile. The word of knowledge, you see, rides in the interpretation. The gift of interpretation, see, is the automobile. It's the carrier. It's the vocal gift. It's the carrier that carries the impartation of this revelation from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, now, often these gifts are constantly working together, you see. Most of the times the gifts are functioning, they're working together. And you'll see several different gifts all going on at the same time, and you don't even know how to distinguish them. A lot of folks will say, people that move all the time in interpretation and prophecy, and they say, well, I've never had a word of wisdom or word of knowledge, but half the time they interpret it's wisdom or it's knowledge, you see, or it's discerning, it's revelation that comes. All right, now let me explain something about this. When revelation comes through the gift of interpretation, it requires a little deeper move of the Spirit. It requires a little deeper faith. A little more trust of God. It's easier to say, thus saith the Lord, I love you. I'm in your midst and I desire that you praise me. It doesn't take as much faith to say that as it does to say, thus saith the Lord God, this is the building that I have established for you before the foundation of the world. I desire that you go buy that piece of property and offer $150,000 for it. I have given it into your hands, thus saith the Lord God. Now see, both of them, interpretation perhaps of a message coming in tongues, but you see the difference in the two? The first one is edification, exhortation, and comfort. I'm the Lord God, I'm in the middle of you. Be happy and joyful and praise me. Okay? Not hard to say that because the Bible's full of that. You'll never get anybody in trouble. But the minute you say, thus saith the Lord God, this, I want you to buy that property and offer that much money and I've given it to you and it's going to be yours, thus saith God. Okay? Now that's something that's going to have to come to pass. That's revelational, instructional. And when you move in that, that is an operation of the gift of interpretation, but it's a word of wisdom you see coming along in it. And when you move in that area, you're moving in a deeper move of the Spirit. It's requiring more faith. That's why Paul said over in Romans, the 12th chapter, when you prophesy, prophesy according to your faith. We talked about that in Sunday school a couple of weeks ago. All right, now, that kind of revelation also. Now, those of you that have been moving in the realm of the Spirit for a while will know exactly what I mean. Revelational interpretation and prophecy most frequently comes in smaller groups where the unity is strong. You see a stronger move of the Holy Spirit in the smaller groups where the people are together in harmony. We see in our services, for example, the simple interpretation, all right, and simple prophecy, edification, exhortation, and comfort. But get a small group together. Get the board of elders together. Get two or three couples together in a home, just seeking God, just having a little prayer meeting there, and the Spirit of God will begin to move. Get a half a dozen ladies together that really love God with all their heart and aren't hung up on a lot of different things. And you don't have, you see, in our services, we have people who are curious. They're there out of curiosity. We have people who are unbelievers. They're there trying to find something wrong with what we're doing. And then you have the saints of God, all right? And you have all different levels of faith and all different levels of understanding and all different levels of believing. God is not moving normally in that kind of a situation with revelational, in the revelational gifts. In the small groups, That's why these small groups that are meeting up here during the week are so important. That's why I keep saying, I keep encouraging people to come and be part of a small Bible study in this church. Be part of a small sharing group. Be part of a small prayer meeting. Get to know people intimately. I mean, really get close to them. Get to know what makes them tick. Become identified with a small group that you can really open up with, where you can really get down to business with each other and with the Lord. And then you see the Spirit of God just really begin to move in a group like that. The smaller the group, the deeper usually the move of the Spirit, because you have a oneness. If you read the first five or six chapters of the book of Acts, you will see over and over again this one phrase, with one accord, with one accord, with one accord, with one accord, with one accord. And every mighty thing that happened in the first five books of the book of Acts, first five chapters, including the coming of the Holy Spirit, it says, and they were on the day of Pentecost all with one accord. Everything that God did powerfully, you see, in that period of time, it was all because all the people were of one accord. They were all together. They were all believing. They were all expecting. They were all open to the Lord, see. And with that oneness of accord, with that unity there, he really poured out the deep things. And that's what he's doing today, too, in the same way. So if you really want this gift, if you have the gift of interpretation of tongues operable in your life, you really want to move in the deeper things of this gift, then you want to make yourself available in smaller groups, because you'll find a deeper move of the Spirit in these vocal gifts in that area. Okay. This is the only gift of the nine in which there is no scriptural reference to a manifestation of it. If we want to know about the working of miracles and the gifts of healings and the gift of faith, you know, as we've been looking at that gift, I've just taken you through the Bible, and we've had example after example after example after example after example of that gift, so we could examine it. There's no place in the Bible where this gift is recorded as ever being used. Now, we know it was used. We know it was used because Paul told the Corinthian church all about interpretation and about interpreters and about the gift of interpretation of tongues. And he includes it here in this passage that we read out of the 12th chapter. But there's no example for us in the Word as to how it was manifested. There's some instruction there, but there's no example for us. So much of what we know about this gift, we must take from our own personal experience, how the Holy Spirit moves in us through this gift. All right, now, let's talk for a minute about what the gift is not. We know what it is. It's supernatural utterance in the known tongue, which brings forth the meaning of that which was spoken in tongues in the unknown language. All right, what it is not, and this is just to eliminate any confusion that there might exist, it is not spiritual insight or understanding. It is not spiritual insight or understanding that a person may have. It does not depend upon his spirituality or his mentality. Neither one, this gift. It is not the ability to read situations. You know what I mean when I say to read a situation? Something will happen and a person will say, how do you interpret that? How do you read that? That's not the gift of interpretation, all right? This gift is the interpretation of tongues, all right? In order to have the interpretation of tongues, you must have tongues first. It's not the ability to read a situation. It is not the understanding of unknown tongues. Now turn to Acts chapter 2. This is the story of the Pentecostal experience on the day of Pentecost, the day the Holy Spirit was poured out. Do you know in verse 4 there, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse number 7, and they were all amazed and marveled. These are the men that were in the city, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? That is not the gift of interpretation of tongues. On the day of Pentecost, they did not interpret the tongues. The Scripture says that they spoke in their own language. So this man over here is speaking in French, and this one here is speaking in Spanish, and this one is speaking in German, and this one is speaking in Italian, and this one is speaking in Korean, Okay? The Koreans that were there would be able to understand what she said. And the Germans would be able to understand what he said. No. No, because it was in a language unknown to the speaker. It was tongues to him. Right. It's tongues to him. But and it was a supernatural utterance given by the Holy Spirit. Okay? He spoke in a language that he never heard before. There happened to be people there who understood, who knew that basic language, and they understood it. That is not interpretation. Because that's not supernatural, you see? If you were a German and you heard German spoken, it doesn't require any supernatural ability for you to understand that. So the gift of interpretation of tongues is not a natural ability to understand unknown languages like they did there that day. There was no interpretation that day. The gift of tongues was manifested, but there was no interpretation. It was a different manifestation altogether. All right, fourthly,
what do you call that?
What do y'all call it?
It's still happening today.
Right. It would be, okay, as far as the gift, it's the gift of diverse kinds of tongues. And it would be what Paul said over in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, about the 22nd verse, that tongues are a sign for the unbeliever. It's a manifestation of that kind of thing, a sign for the unbeliever. Here's a man that doesn't know my language, but he's speaking it. For example, if you were to go to... If you were to go to Hong Kong and you were to go into a charismatic service in Hong Kong and all those people in there, they're worshiping the Lord and so on, you're not sure whether you know about this or not. And all of a sudden somebody begins to speak out in English. Now, see, that'd be tongues for him because he wouldn't know the language. But you would need interpretation because you understand that language, but you'd hear it. You'd know what it was he was saying, okay? If you're an unbeliever and you see a manifestation like that, it's going to get you down to business with Jesus quick. And oftentimes that gift will manifest that way.
A situation like that where nobody else in the whole church would have understood it except the one person that spoke English. Would there have been following interpretation?
Perhaps. There could be interpretation following. Sometimes there'd be no interpretation following.
But it still would not be wrong.
Not be wrong because it happened here on the day of Pentecost. See, we have an example for that, without where it was not interpreted. Okay? All right, now fourthly, this is something else interpretation is not. Interpretation of tongues is not translation of tongues. And I think this causes skeptics more trouble than anything else. They come into a charismatic or a Pentecostal service where the gifts of tongues are in operation, and they hear tongues, and perhaps the message that comes in tongues is a little short, 5-second burst. And then the gift of interpretation comes over here and it goes on for a minute and a half. Or vice versa. The person will speak out in tongues and it'll be a long, big, long message in tongues. And then over here the interpretation comes and it'll just be 10-15 seconds. Just a little bit of a message will come. Sometimes you will hear when the message is coming in tongues. And if you're skeptical, you'll notice these things, see? And the devil will be sure and show them to you. And this holds a lot of people away from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A message will come in tongues, and you will hear a repetitive phrase in tongues. I mean, it'll just go over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Maybe two or three times, maybe many, many times. But then when the person interprets, you're listening for the English to come. You know, the same repetition, and it doesn't come. Boy, is that a fraud. See? And people come to that conclusion. All right, the gift of interpretation of tongues is not the gift of translation of tongues. If it was translation, it would be word for word. But it's not word for word. It is the meaning, okay? We said when we defined this gift that it was supernatural utterance which brought forth the meaning of what was spoken in tongues. It doesn't bring that forth word for word. It may, but it generally does not. If you were to go to a foreign country and you were to speak publicly, they would likely give you what to help you? An interpreter. They don't give you a translator. They give you an interpreter. What does an interpreter do? He interprets in that language the meaning of what you've spoken in your own. And if you've ever watched on television where this will happen, the person who is speaking, he says a little short thing, and the interpreter standing there beside, he goes into all of this, you know, and he'll go on for 5 minutes to explain what he just said there in just a couple of words, or vice versa. He'll talk on and on and on and on, and over here the interpreter will just give a little short thing. Well, in different languages, you see, there are different ways of saying the same thing. Some things that we may say we may have some words in our language that very descriptively and very adequately describe a situation in just a few words. But in another language, you see, there's no way to put that into a few words. It takes a long dissertation in order to explain that. And you've had it happen even sometimes. There'll be three of you together. I see it with you. No, I won't say that. But I see three individuals together, and one individual says something to the second, but she doesn't understand what was just said. And the third one over here says, well, I think what she means is this. And she launches into this great big long explanation in order to transmit the meaning of what was said here, you see, to the second. You understand what I mean? That happens among us. Well, it happens here too, with tongues and interpretation. It is not translation, it's interpretation. You may get a significant variance in the length of the message, either shorter or longer. It may be more or less detailed, the interpretation, than the message that came in tongues. It may or may not be repetitive. It may or may not be repetitive. The message in tongues may repeat itself several times. And I've heard it happen. I remember one night at a prayer meeting that one of the sisters had was bringing forth a message in tongues, and it was a short little phrase over and over again, 7 or 8 times. That was the message. It was the first time I'd ever heard anything like that. When the interpretation came, the interpretation was about 6 words. That's all. That's all. And I went, Lord, what is that? And the interpretation was the phrase one time. When it came in tongues, the anointing was so strong on the person that she kept bringing it and bringing it and bringing it and bringing it and bringing it. She just couldn't let go of it. But it was the same thing over and over again. The interpretation, you see, was the whole thing, but it wasn't 8 times. It was only once. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. It's the gift of interpretation of tongues. Now, I want to show you something that's very interesting. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Go to 53. Go to Isaiah 53. There are many such examples, but let's just use this one. And then hold your finger there, and in the New Testament, I want you to turn to Matthew, the 8th chapter. And hold your finger on that one. Now, this is something that I wasn't aware of until just recently, and it just helped me to understand this whole business, what we're talking about, interpretation rather than translation. Okay. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, I want us to read the 4th verse. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Just that much. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. All right, now, the prophet Isaiah spoke that, inspired by whom? Inspired by whom? God who? God the Holy Spirit inspired and breathed those words through the pen of Isaiah. All right, now turn to Matthew, the 8th chapter, and hold your finger there to Isaiah 53. Verse number 17, Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. All right, now, the apostle Matthew wrote this verse, inspired by whom? God the Holy Spirit. Now, if God the Holy Spirit wrote Isaiah 53:4, and he also wrote Matthew 8:17. Why did he say it exactly the same way? Because he can do anything he wants to do, you see. He brought the same meaning. He brought the same meaning, but he used different words. But do you see it is the same? It's the same. The Holy Spirit, you see, it's the same thing as if the Holy Spirit were to bring an utterance in tongues and then an utterance in a known tongue, you see, to interpret it, the words would not necessarily have to be exactly the same. He did it in the Bible. And I can give you example after example after example after example between the Old and the New Testament, where the New Testament writers writing under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, quoted the Old Testament, but did not put it down exactly word for word. Same principle, it happens today. It's exactly the same thing, all right? It's not a translation, it's interpretation, and it is entirely and perfectly in harmony, absolutely perfectly in harmony with the way the Holy Spirit has always worked, even in the Bible. Now, I guess if he could do it in the Bible, then he could also do it in a church service, can't he? Huh? Or in a prayer meeting. If it was all right for the Word, then it's all right for today in the services. All right, now there are two other reasons why the interpretation and the tongues may vary in length and in content. Oftentimes you will have a situation arise where a message will come in tongues and it's relatively short. And the interpretation will come and it's very long. Sometimes what will happen is the person who is bringing the interpretation will move into prophecy. In other words, the message comes in tongues and it's this long. The interpretation comes and it's this long, but when he gets here, God's not finished, and he moves into prophecy and he keeps speaking. Along the same line, but there was no utterance in tongues, you see, to match that. To the uninstructed observer or the person who is not sensitive to those things, he'd look at that and say, I don't know, that didn't make any sense to me. And a person could, there could be a message in tongues that would be 10 seconds long, and this person might prophesy for 2 minutes or interpret and prophesy, okay? Now, sometimes you can pick out the difference. The Lord will just show you right in the middle of it. If you're the one that is bringing that message, sometimes he'll show you. You'll be speaking and he'll just give you witness. This is prophecy that's coming now. Sometimes sitting in the congregation, when you hear it, you'll sense the difference. One of the things that you'll frequently sense is that right in here somewhere, there seemed to be more authority and more power in the message. The anointing just seemed to come stronger there, and there just seemed to be more authority on it. There does seem to be more authority on the gift of prophecy than on the gift of interpretation, because it is used alone rather than following tongues. So that will happen, and I think it happens probably more often than we think it does. More often than we think. Here's something else that will happen. You have a similar situation where this bothered me for a long time until the Lord showed it to me, and then he witnessed it to me in some examples. A person will bring forth a message in tongues, and then someone will start to what appears to be interpret and just get a great big long interpretation. Now we had, Patty, this happened through you. Patty bring a message in tongues, and it would be repetitive. It'd be the same phrase in tongues. Just a little phrase in tongues, and come over and over and over again in tongues, all right? And then the person would start to interpret. And you wonder, well, is that legitimate? I mean, is that really right? She said the same thing over and over again. It sounded like three words over and over. And here this person starts to interpret. Something's wrong. Either Patty is jabbering some kind of baby talk, or the person who's interpreting is interpreting out of their own mind. Something's wrong, all right? The Lord showed me what was wrong was we didn't understand what was happening. What Patty is doing is praying aloud in tongues. Not bringing a message in tongues, but praying in tongues. And what this person is doing is prophesying. Example. The Spirit of God, you got a service is going on, and the Lord wants to speak to His people. The Bible says that over in 1 Corinthians 14, that tongues are used actually for two purposes, doesn't it? This supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue serves two different purposes. That's why there's so much confusion concerning it. In the second verse, Paul says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God." But then down in verse 5, it says, "The greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive the edifying." We know that you can speak in tongues, and you can be speaking to God, or it can be God speaking to men. I mean, it can go either way, all right? Okay, when a person speaks out in tongues then, isn't it possible that he could be praying rather than speaking a message from God? I'm just convinced, that there are times in the services where the Holy Spirit of God was, I want to speak to my people. I want to speak to my people. And the Spirit of the Lord will look for somebody who will pray. He settled on sister here. And she'll, out will come this utterance. And it'll be like something like this. Oh, blessed Father, speak to your children. Lord, speak to your people today. Lord, will you speak a word to those that hunger for you today? Speak, Lord, speak, Lord, speak, Lord, speak, Lord. In tongues. Now, if that were to come in tongues, what would it sound like? It'd be repetitive sounding, wouldn't it? It'd sound like the same thing over and over again. And people would wonder, that doesn't sound like any kind of a real live message. All right, now, when you pray in the Spirit like that, it's a perfect prayer, isn't it? Romans 8:27 says that the saints intercede according to the perfect will of God. It's a perfect prayer inspired by the Holy Spirit, and when that prayer goes forth, then God comes down and he, prophesy, daughter, say, and she starts to speak. Well, 99% of the people in the congregation think that she's interpreting, but she's not interpreting at all, she's prophesying. In response to the prayer, not the message. Now, here's another way that that will happen from time to time. Now, the reason I believe the Lord wants us to see all these things is so that you'll have more confidence in moving in the ministry of these gifts, in the services. 1 Corinthians 12, 5 and 6 says that there are many different operations of these gifts, you see. And when we try to lock ourselves into the gift of tongues and interpretation and prophecy, always has to operate the same way, then we just lock God out, you see? Many different diverse operations, diversities of operations of these gifts. So let's not ever get locked in so tight that that's the only way the Spirit of God can move. One of the reasons we're so blessed is that we didn't know very much at the beginning, you see? And we didn't know whether it was right or wrong. All we knew was we knew Jesus. And he began to move, and he showed us later whether it was okay or not okay, all right? And that's why we've been so blessed in the operation of these gifts. I know that Joan, for example, she didn't even know what interpretation was, and she was doing it. I mean, just flow and flow. She thought everybody did it like that because that's the way it came to her. Okay? So diverse operations. All right, now, there is this also will happen. And I know some of you have experienced this. You'll be sitting in the service and the Spirit of God will come upon you and he'll do everything but shake you to get you to prophesy. He'll give you the words. He'll give you the prompting. He'll jerk on you a few times. He'll even give you confirmation because of something that I might say in from the pulpit. There'll even be a time, an opportunity for you to speak, but still you'll sit there and you won't speak. You might even say to him, well, Lord, if a message in tongues comes, then I'll know it's you. So he'll reach around the corner over here and he'll take Patty, you see, and you don't mind me using you as an example, do you? And he'll jerk on her sleeve and Patty will come out with her prayer. See? There you are sitting there. Oh, thank God there's the message in tongues I can interpret. He fooled you again. Because it wasn't a message in tongues. It was a prayer. See, you thought it was a message in tongues, and then, good, I can now interpret. And you went on and prophesied, which is what he wanted you to do in the first place. Okay? But the tongues, you see, were your crutch, if I may use the expression. It was your testing, and I've heard some to say to me that, after a service, I'll say to a person, God bless you for obeying the Spirit of God and bringing forth that interpretation. And he'll say or she'll say, I had that thing for 15 minutes before it came. Well, I know what happened. They had it for 15 minutes and wouldn't say it when God wanted them to say it. So the Lord brought something like this to give them enough courage to speak it out. See? So oftentimes, it's not really interpretation at all. It's prophecy. But it looks and sounds like interpretation. All right, now, it's important, I think, that we see those things so that when it happens to us, that it'll be more recognizable and will not quench the Spirit. The Word says, quench not the Spirit of God. And I think that we quench Him because we don't know what's happening. Sometimes we misjudge our brothers and sisters because we don't know as much as we think we know. And we say, well, he did this or he didn't do that or she. And brothers and sisters, many Pentecostal churches have stayed teeny tiny little churches or have died. because of that very thing. Because someone will go over here to Sister Taff and say, that really wasn't God speaking through you tonight. And she'd go off brokenhearted. Just brokenhearted. Because someone was going to tell her what was happening in her life that night. Or someone would come to this one and say, Sister, that really wasn't of God. Your hair's too short. God wouldn't use somebody with short hair like you. He'd pick somebody got long hair. Because that's more holy. See? Sister, that wasn't really God tonight ministering through you. I see your slacks on. I see you wearing pants and your jewelry and stuff, all that stuff. God wouldn't speak through somebody like that. You got to be clean and holy. And that keeps the churches, you see, small. That's the devil's work. Judging not by the word, you see, but judging by the opinions of men. Now, what God is ministering to me is that as we see these kinds of things, it takes the unknown away and the fear goes with it. See, we understand how God's doing. We open up to allow Him to move in more ways than we've ever seen Him move before. It blessed me when Charles Scott was saying the other night at the men's dinner how Charles was raised in a Pentecostal background. I think he's got 3 or 4 brothers that are Pentecostal pastors. He has 10 or 12 brothers and sisters, came from a big family. And being raised in that kind of tradition and in that strict upbringing, they have very strong feelings about what's right and what's wrong. They think he's going off the deep end, you see, coming to a church like this. And he said at the dinner that evening, last men's dinner, fellowship dinner, that when he first began to start having fellowship with us, and people would begin to share that God spoke to me thus and so, and I wrote it down and would read it forth as thus saith the Lord. And the Pentecostal folks don't believe in that, see? If you're going to have tongues with interpretation, and if you're going to have prophecy, and if you're going to have the gifts of the Spirit, that revelation does not come unless it's vocal. But that can't be written down, you see, like that. Because ostensibly, because that gives a fellow an opportunity to change it if it doesn't sound just right, if it doesn't match up with a word just right, you know, and put it off as coming from God. And he said, I thought, oh, blasphemy, blasphemy. But I continued to have fellowship with you people. I continued to watch and to listen and to see what you were doing. And he said, I couldn't get it together. It just looked like blasphemy over here based on my background. But yet I could see the ministry of the Spirit of God in you. And then he said, the night before he was to speak, the Spirit of the Lord says, son, get your pencil. Son, get your pencil. Mm-hmm. Praise God. See? And he found out that Paul says that there are diversities of operations. Same gift, you see, can operate many different ways. So we got to be careful and not lock ourselves into one way, and lock everything else out. Okay, now, how does the gift operate in us? How does it function? First of all, it always follows tongues. If you'd ask the question, how do I know if I have the interpretation of tongues? How do I know if God wants to use me in this gift? How do I know if He wants me to bring this interpretation? Well, first of all, always this gift will follow a vocal utterance in an unknown tongue. You may receive the entire message before you give the interpretation. Sometimes, as the message is coming in tongues, in your mind, you know what's being said. As the person is speaking in tongues, you can sense it on the inside of you. You just know what God's saying. There may be words there, it may be just a knowing, but you know what it is. You can almost like hear it when the message is coming in tongues. And when he stops speaking in tongues, you know exactly what it was. Sometimes it'll come like that. Other times, and this is probably most common, after the message has come in tongues, you will have just a few words. Just a very few words. Maybe the first 3 or 4, maybe a phrase. Maybe just a little bit. Okay, so where do those words come from? Well, they come from the Holy Spirit. It's supernatural utterance. Well, how do you know that you have them? Well, they just appear in your mind. They're just there. There wasn't anything there. You were listening to the message in tongues. All of a sudden now, here's some words that are just there. Now, I can't tell you how to distinguish them from anything else because it's something that you have to learn how to do by experience. It's something we have to learn how to walk in, how to recognize it as God. And sometimes it will come so quietly and so gently that you're unwilling to accept that it's God, and you think that it's, well, it's just my own thought, even though God put it there. Just a few words. And then the rest of the message will come as you open your mouth and begin to speak. Sometimes comes something. Let me give you an example of what I mean. A message has been spoken in tongues over here, for example. Out comes the utterance in tongues. And the minute he started to speak, all of us should be in tune with the Spirit. The minute that message comes in tongues, and that's one reason why God uses tongues in interpretation, because that's a supernatural sign, you see, tongues. And when you hear tongues, immediately you know that's God. Stop everything. All right, get in tune with the Holy Spirit. What is God trying to say? All right. So when the message begins to come in tongues, everybody in the auditorium, and especially those that move in these gifts, need to get in tune with God right away, immediately. Begin to tune in, so to speak. Get everything else out of your mind. Begin to tune in to the Lord. And as that message is coming, and now perhaps the message is finished, and in my mind, let's say that it was me, for example, in my mind may be only these words, "Thus saith the Lord." That may be all that's there. Now, where did that come from? Did I dream it up? No, I didn't dream it up. It's coming from the Spirit of God. Now, I have a choice. I can either stand there and I can say, "Well, now, Lord, is that you? Lord? Lord, do you want me to do something with it? Do you want me to interpret this, Lord? Lord, give me some more. Lord, what are you trying to say?" Well, I'll wait for someone else. That's what frequently happens. Or I can say, "Thus saith the Lord," and believe God the Holy Spirit to give me the next words to say. All right? Now, the most common operation of the gift of interpretation of tongues is exactly like that. A few words will come into your mind. And here's one way that you can tell that it's the Spirit of God. The words will stay there. They won't leave you alone. They keep going over and over and over and over and over again. And it just keeps rolling around in there and it just won't leave. Just won't go away. And you can tell that it's God and He's prompting you. That is His prompting. The Spirit of God does not compel you to move in these gifts. He will not compel you. There's no compulsion to it. But it's a prompting, an encouraging, not even a prodding, but just a prompting, a gentle prompting. But gentle, but persistent. Persistent. You may even begin to feel uncomfortable as you repress it. You'll feel lots more comfortable if you open your mouth and start to speak. So you that uneasiness will go away. And the Lord does work in different ways with different people. I find as I talk to different ones that sometimes a person will feel when God wants to use them in interpretation, all of a sudden their body will start to quiver. The Holy Spirit would, the anointing of God would just come into their flesh and they just sense the presence of God real strong. And that's how they know that God wants to use them. Other times, lips will start to quiver. On another occasion, something else, some other kind of a manifestation will take place that the Lord will use. But I can tell you this, that after you have moved in this gift for a while, God may use those kinds of things to help you out in the beginning. But after a while, He will take all of that away. And He wants you to move in faith. Now, let me tell you what it's like. Here's some other things. Before I mention that, here's some other things that, some other ways that it may come. I've heard people to say that when God wanted them to interpret, that they would actually see the words. I've heard folks say they'd see a television screen and see the words appearing on the screen. And they just read them off. And the words would keep appearing on the screen. They'd just read them. I've heard people say they saw a ticker tape. I believe it was one that had a ticker tape printed in Old English. And she'd just read the words. And the tape would just keep coming with new words. She'd just keep reading it. Well, now, that doesn't require as much faith as it does to not have anything and just open your mouth, you see, and begin to speak. Other times, the Lord will not give you words at all, but rather He will give you a picture of something. A visual, of something. And you know what he's trying to say, but there are no words there. And he wants you to open your mouth and he'll give the utterance to describe what you're seeing. On other occasions, there are no words, but there's a thought there or a knowing, an impression. The message is coming in tongues, and when the message comes in tongues, you just know inside you what it's about. You don't have any words, but you have a thought or an impression, a knowing on the inside of you. You know what that's about. And he wants you to open your mouth and begin to speak, and then he'll give you the words. You see, it's a supernatural utterance. He will give the words by the power of the Holy Spirit to explain that knowing or that awareness that's on the inside of you. And oftentimes that's the way it'll happen with me. If I'm on the platform, for example, and we may have a message that come when James is at the microphone. And if the interpretation is going to come through me, which it will do from time to time, not often, but it does from time to time, I just know it's coming. And I just start to move to the platform and take the microphone. When I take the microphone, start to talk, and then the words come. Then the words come. It comes right then. Okay, now, all of those are ways that the Holy Spirit will get you started. He may give you the whole thing at one time. He may give you just a few words. He may give you a picture or a television screen or a ticker tape. He may give you a thought or an impression, some kind of an association. A passage of Scripture may just drop into your mind, just like seemingly out of the blue, a Scripture. Open your mouth and begin to speak it, and he'll give the rest to go with it. All right, now, sometimes he gives the help in the beginning when you're beginning to move in that ministry, in any of these gifts, and he will work with you with a strong anointing or a strong prompting. And I liken it to teaching a child how to ride a bicycle. If you have a child, you're going to teach how to ride a two-wheeler. How many of you have ever done this with a child? Teach a child how to ride a two-wheeler. Okay. You take the training wheels and you put on the back two wheels and you put them down so that the child can only move this far on the bicycle and the training wheels will contact the ground. All right? You give him a lot of help. Now, after he learns how to ride the bike a little while, what do you do with the training wheels? You raise them up a little bit, don't you? So now he can move a little further, you see, before he contacts the training wheel. All right? As he gets more skilled, you take them all the way up, and then eventually you take them off. All right? The anointing of God is just like training wheels. When you begin to move in the gift of interpretation, he'll come upon you, and it's just like he put 220 volts on your body, and just like that, and you know he wants you to do this, and you go on and just obey him. But he won't forever do that. He won't forever do that. There will come a time after you move in that for a while that he expects you to learn how to move in that gift by faith, not by feeling. Because we're not to walk by feeling, but rather by faith. He wants to speak to us. He wants to be able to prompt us. He wants to be able to say, "Son, now," and you just obey him. He wants to be able to give that gentle prompting, and you know that it's God, and you go on and just obey him and do what it is. I don't know how many people I talk to say, "I don't know what's happening to me. I don't get the anointing anymore. I don't know what's the matter." Well, isn't anything the matter? God has just taken the training wheels off. He wants us to operate in faith. The anointing gets lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter. And first thing you know, it's gone. Now he wants you to operate in faith, you see, and just do what he tells you to do, when to do it. Okay, he'll not compel you. All right, now let's talk for a few minutes about, that should help you to recognize when the Lord wants to use you and how it begins to happen in you, how to know when it is when God's saying, "Son or daughter, I want you to interpret that message." Now let's talk for a minute about the ministry of the gift in the public service. First of all, it's important for us to know that with all of these gifts, and this one included, that it is a product of God and man together. Therefore, we can use some instruction. If it was all God and man had nothing to do with it, then it would be perfectly manifested every time, and there would be no need for us to ever have any instruction. Is that correct? But it is a combined effort, you see. God is the initiator, but we must permit him to operate through us and cooperate with him. It's a cooperative effort between the Lord and us. Consequently, we need and require some instruction on it. First of all, I would encourage you to do this. Ask God to use you. Just ask him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:1, "Earnestly covet the best gifts." especially that you should prophesy. It is proper for you to pray and say, Father, I want you to use me in the interpretation of tongues, or in any of these gifts for that matter. But if you want to be used in these vocal gifts, ask God to use you. Just ask Him. Say, Father, would you use me? Just use me. Operate this gift through me. He wants you to do that. He wants you to be open and willing. And so ask Him. He says, do so. All right. When the message in tongues comes, be open to receive from God and expect God to use you. I think most of us, when the message come in tongues, we say, well, I wonder who's going to interpret this one. Instead of saying, Lord, do you want to use me? And on this subject also, I would encourage you to be part of some of these smaller groups. It's a lot easier to interpret when there are four or five or six people present than when there's 200. I mean, it doesn't require as much faith, you see, when there are five or six very close friends as it does when there are 200 and some of them skeptics, perhaps, you see. So get in the smaller groups and it's easier for the Lord to begin to move that through you. It doesn't require quite as much faith. When you get the prompting, move out. Now, I would call this move out when you get a definite prompting. We have had some abuses in this gift because people were so eager to be used that they did not wait for a definite prompting of God. They say, I'm going to step out and God will honor it. We've had some of that. And it does not edify the body of Christ when that happens. Okay, now how do you know that's happening? Well, let's suppose in a service, you have, I explain this to you not so that you could judge one another, but so that you'd be able to judge yourself. Over in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, Paul said, if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. So we take care of ourselves, you see, then we're not following anybody else's judgment. Suppose the Spirit is moving in a service, and maybe there have been a couple of messages that have already come, tongues interpretation or prophecy, or maybe there hasn't been any manifestation at all. It's just maybe the message has just been preached. And all of a sudden comes a message in tongues. The interpretation following it has absolutely no relationship to what has just gone before. Have you ever heard that? I remember one service in particular that we had two or three messages, prophecy and tongues and interpretation, came all on the same score, and God was dealing with the congregation. He was speaking to the congregation about something that we needed to do. It was on Sunday morning. And right in the middle of that, while God was dealing with the people, an individual in the service wanted so much to be used, and all of a sudden, out comes this word of prophecy, and it wasn't God at all. It was totally irrelevant, totally unrelated, totally disconnected from what the Spirit of God was in the process of doing. And then the Spirit of God picked it back up again, and we had some more. He continued dealing with the congregation. Another message came. Totally unrelated. Didn't have anything to do with what God was doing. Okay? After that was over, the Spirit of God went back and began to deal again on the same subject. Now, just a little bit of sensitivity will tell you that the Spirit of God is not going like this. I mean, He's not like a Chinese fire drill. He knows what He's doing. And He's going to move, you see, in an orderly and decent fashion. Paul said here, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, that's what the Holy Spirit said for us to do. Surely He would do the same thing. So you can tell. If I've just preached a message on a particular subject, and then over here comes, and the Spirit of God, you can tell whether the Spirit of God has anointed that message or not. You can tell as easy as I can. And then right after the message, here comes something way off the wall over here, you see. Reported to be prophecy, see, or interpretation. Okay. Get a definite prompting. Some folks new in the movement of this gift mistake just an anointing of God for the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes in the service, where the Spirit of God is just moving so beautifully across the service, and individual wants to be used so much, and the Spirit of God touches him as if to say, "Son, I love you. Here's a blessing." He says, "Who? Thus saith the Lord." You see? He says, "Oh, God wants me to speak." He didn't want him to speak at all. All he wanted him to do was just love him, just get a blessing, you see? Do you understand what I'm saying? You get a definite prompting from the Lord. Just because you can interpret or prophesy doesn't mean you have to every time there's an opportunity. Wait until there's a definite prompting from the Lord. He will let you know when it is that he wants you to speak. Now, whatever you do, obey him, because it's not pleasant if you don't. And if he does prompt you, act in faith and go on and move out. And just begin to speak. Trust him. All right, in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 30th verse, Paul talking about interpretation and prophecy and so on, he said this: "If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace." In other words, don't compete to be used in this way. If God's revealing something to another that's sitting nearby you, for example, you may start to speak and another person starts at the same time. Defer. Defer to that other person, you see? Don't be competing to be operating in that gift. That's what he's talking about there. Now, listen to this carefully. And this is very important. And I think the misunderstanding of this causes more people more disappointment in the movement of these gifts. They go on and move in the gift, but because it didn't move properly, they're disappointed in themselves, and it hurts them. When the message comes in tongues, if you have the definite prompting of God and you know God wants to use you, then whatever you do, do it right away. Don't wait. I know many, and I've been guilty of this myself. I know I could bring that interpretation, and sometimes I've known that I should. And I'll wait for someone else to bring it. No one else brings it. Then if I try to bring it, after waiting a while, the longer you wait, the anointing diminishes. The anointing diminishes. And having waited all that time, you've opened up for doubt, and doubt comes in and hinders you. It's like open the door and let the rats in, see? And they begin to... And then the interpretation does not come powerfully. This is why, from time to time, you'll hear a message come in tongues. It'll come bold and strong and powerful. The interpretation will come weak. Weak. You understand what I'm talking about? Sometimes the reason it comes weak is because it's not the real interpretation. It's somebody trying to interpret without the interpretation. That happens sometimes. And you can tell. If you have a message that comes from God and it comes bold and strong in tongues, you can anticipate the interpretation to come along the same lines, because it's bringing the meaning, you see, of what was brought in tongues. Now, but if you wait too long, the anointing diminishes. I don't know that I understand it exactly, but I know that it works this way. The doubt comes in and hinders, the anointing diminishes, and then you begin to speak, and it's not fresh and full and powerful like it should be, and the people do not receive the edifying that they should. So whatever you do, if God's given you the anointing to interpret and you know it's you, as soon as that message finishes in tongues, you bring it right now while the anointing's flowing, see, while the Spirit of God is really flowing. And that oftentimes we do not get the full benefit as the church of the interpretation because the interpreter did not obey God and begin right away. And when it's brought then, it's not brought with the same anointing. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you have experienced that? See, yeah. You lose it. You lose it. And it's not good. So be careful about that. All right, now one other thing I want to say, and then we're going to close. In 1 Corinthians 14:13, Paul says this: "Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret." God is asking you here, not only for when you speak in tongues in the congregation. By the way, if you bring a message in tongues in the congregation and nobody interprets it, you are responsible to ask God to give you the interpretation. Do you hear me? If you bring the message in tongues and nobody interprets it, you are responsible to ask the Lord to give you the interpretation. The responsibility becomes yours. And ask believing, Paul says, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. The Lord never would have asked you to pray for interpretation if he didn't mean to give it to you. So it is his will to give you the interpretation. So you ask him, Father, give that to me and I'll interpret it. And I'll bring it. You're responsible to do that once you've brought the message. Okay? Now, there's another aspect of this verse, 13th verse. For he goes down in verse 14 and he says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue. In other words, there's a connection there. God also wants you to interpret your prayers in the Spirit. Many people pray in the Spirit and have never had the interpretation for what they've prayed. Have never known what they've prayed. Now, every one of your prayers will not be interpreted. God will not give you interpretation for every prayer that you pray in the Spirit. Because over in 14:2, he says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. There are some things that you're going to speak to God that he's not going to tell you what it is that you're speaking about. But he does say here that if you speak in an unknown tongue, if you pray in an unknown tongue, you should pray for the power to interpret your own prayers. How many of you have had interpretation to what you have prayed in tongues? Okay. See, it's fairly common. All right, now this is the way it works. And the way it happened to me, and I didn't even know what was going on. But I would pray in tongues, and then I'd just start praying in English. And I'd pray in tongues, I'd pray in English. I'd pray in tongues, I'd pray in English. Pray in tongues, English, tongues, English. And the Lord showed me that what I was praying in English was the interpretation of what I was doing in tongues. It would flow, tongues, then English, tongues, then English, tongues, then, and it was. And sometimes I'd get to praising the Lord. And it would go from tongues to English, you know. And I began to distinguish certain phrases in my prayer language that were the same. And right behind it would come, like, bless you, Father. Just like that. It'd be tongues, then bless you, Father. And I'd go off doing something else, and then tongues would come, bless you, Father. I mean, it would just flow automatically. And he began to show me that right before every bless you, Father, was this same phrase in tongues. That's interpretation of what was being prayed, you see, in tongues. So sometimes it'll happen to you and you don't even know that it's happening as you're praying. You get English and it is the interpretation. But he says also, and this will, if you'll pray in faith believing, now you must pray believing, as you're praying in tongues, just say, Father, what am I praying about? Give me the interpretation of that. And from time to time and frequently, he'll just give you the interpretation. You'll get a thought that'll come into your mind. You start to speak it and it'll be the interpretation. Okay, now, one other final thing. And that, I tell you, that will liven up your private prayer life. That will really liven up your personal devotions. That when you pray in tongues and then pray with understanding as well. All right, very quickly, let me just say this, that God, I don't know how common this is, but I feel impressed to share it with you. Maybe the Lord wants to do it with somebody here, I don't know, but it doesn't happen so much anymore, but shortly after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Lord used to have dialogue with me, lengthy dialogue through tongues and interpretation. And I would be either on my knees in private prayer or in the car or wherever it was, just talking to him. I'd just be talking in tongues. And then interpretation would come. Big long sentence, you know. Then the interpretation would come. And I'd be speaking to him. And then all of a sudden, I would speak out in tongues again. It'd be a different language. And then interpretation would come. It'd be him talking to me. And so he used my mouth, and we had a conversation. I would speak in tongues, then interpret. Then he would give me tongues and interpretation, and it was like two people talking through one mouth. And it was the most marvelous and wonderful thing. And it would go on by the hour, like just by the hour. And I would ask him things, you know, and then he would speak back to me and give me answers. And we'd just talk like that, back and forth for the longest time. So I don't know how common that is, but it is a manifestation. It's a diversity of operations, you see, of these gifts, tongues and interpretation. It's a method of communication, communion with God. So if it begins to happen to you, then you'll know what it is. Okay? Well, we run over tonight. Do you understand interpretation of tongues any better tonight than you did earlier? Good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you've given us tonight. Thank you, Father, for removing the unknown and removing confusion because you've removed those things that we do not know. We thank you, Father, for throwing light into areas of darkness. We praise you and thank you, Father, for the communion means that you have established for us. that we might have this beautiful fellowship with you, that we might be used by you to minister edifying to the body of Christ. And Father, I pray this prayer for each and every one who is here tonight. I desire, Father, and I covet for each one of us this gift, interpretation of tongues. And Father, you might use every person who is gathered in this room tonight to manifest that gift through, that the church might receive the edifying. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.